We are in a series titled, Go and Make Disciples. Today is the last message in that series. And this is also Palm Sunday, the day in which Jesus rode into Jerusalem, a Sunday before his death on Friday. It's known as the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. The people were looking for an earthly king, but Jesus had a bigger picture goal in mind. He would become a spiritual king of all time and eternity. But there's an amazing passage in Matthew chapter 23. And there's some verses from the words of Jesus himself that capture the essence of his heart. And I want us to read those together. They're in your notes. Let's read them. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, the house is left to you desolate. Two verses in which Jesus articulates a longing from his heart for the people of Jerusalem. And the longing is this. He looked out over the city and he said, how often I have longed together to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. In other words, there's something in his heart that wanted to draw people into himself. And there was something in his heart, a yearning, a longing, a passion, a desire to help people's lives who were broken. But one of the saddest statements or phrases in Scripture is it says at the end, but you were not willing. And your house is left to you desolate. You see, Jesus knew that people's lives could be a mess and they would be desolate, but when grace entered into their life and he would gather them together, it would make all the difference in their life. I want us to listen to a video or watch it. It's a little over 4 minutes long. It speaks for itself. But as you listen to it and watch it, I want you to think about the longing and the yearning of Christ that he wants to draw you and me unto himself. Let's watch.
How are you? I just had to send a note to tell you how much I care about you. I don't want you to feel guilty. That's not my style. I think you know that. But I've been waiting. I followed you everywhere today. I saw you talking with your friends. I hoped that you'd want to talk with me, too. I waited. I have so many gifts for you. That fiery rise of the sun over the low hills this morning. My idea. That cool resting breeze. Mine too. Remember, I created the sun, the moon, the seas, the stars, and you. I just wanted to reach out and give you a lift and say, I give you this day. I've overcome it. Life is good. I waited, but you didn't notice me. At lunch, the way your food danced on your tongue and satisfied your hunger. I made it that way. I can satisfy your spirit. But you get so busy, so distracted, so disconnected. You worry so much. That's not the life I designed for you, the spirit I custom fit for you when you became mine and we wrote your name in the book and sang from the sheer joy of it. That's how I wish you'd react to my name, to my face. I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to see the life that I built for you? You're my exquisite creation. We've got a lot to do. You've got some wonderful things to see. Lives to dance through. Souls to enrich. Worlds to change. Are you ready? I am. Listen to the voice of my spirit. The beckoning. The longing. The life I want for you is so very different from the world you see now. Let's get started. Child, I love you with a love you'll never understand. Notice me. Speak to me. Please don't forget about me. I love you, but I won't bother you anymore. It's your decision. I've chosen you, and I will wait.
The video kind of says it all, doesn't it? Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I long to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks. He could put the words in there, O Walton, O Walton, or a surrounding town, how often I've longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. In the text that Brianne read this morning, we're gonna take a look at that. And the title of today's message is this, The Value of One Person. The value of just one person. And it's the story about Jesus leaving the 99 to go get one lost sheep. And so we're gonna look at this parable of what it teaches about the shepherd in relation to the lost sheep. And I want us to leave here this morning with one simple find, one gem, one nugget, and that's this. I want you to see the value of one person through the eyes of God Himself. And that one person is you as well. Not just the people we're seeking to reach, but the people that are here today. There's immense value in one person, and that's you. In your notes, there's a simple definition I'd like for you to fill in the blank on. It's this. Here's the word value and what it means. It means the worth of something. The worth of something. That's it. And the worth of something is defined by the person who owns it. If I own it, it may not be a big deal. But when God owns it and what He says about it gives authority and life and a sense of value that's eternal and that will not pass away. And so we're going to look at the value and the worth of one person. So three things the parable teaches us about the shepherd and the sheep. Let's get started in your notes. Number one. The first thing the parable teaches us about is the shepherd is it's there's a longing of the shepherd to find the one lost sheep. There's a longing. There's a passion. There's a sense of desire. There's a yearning in the heart of Jesus Himself to find one more person. Read with me verses 3 and 4 in your notes. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it. I want you to circle the word leave. It's an action verb. It means to go after, it means to depart from something. Does he not leave the 99? And then circle the second word, go. He leaves something to go towards something to find a lost sheep. I want us to understand this morning that the great shepherd Jesus himself has a yearning, a longing to find lost sheep. In Matthew 16, it says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, one person has immense value in God's eyes, and he wants to find people to extend his grace. Here's a quote about yearning. "The yearning you felt for something better is a yearning to come unto Christ." In other words, you have yearnings in your life for a better life, a better marriage, a better career, a better person, whatever it might be. And the yearning inside us is given by God because he wants us to come to him so that he can fulfill them and satisfy the deepest yearnings of our life. Understand, the great shepherd Jesus longs to find the lost sheep. I want you to notice, he left the 99 that were safe and secure. And there was only one that he's going after. And so that's 1% out of 100. But he was willing to leave the 99 who were safe to find the one who is not there. You see, that one is your life. It's my life. It's other people's lives. He's on the hunt and the lookout for people who are of value to him because he wants to draw them in to the fold. So he has a great passion. His heart, as he looked over Jerusalem, was to gather people together so he could extend grace into their lives. Point number two, the parable teaches us the excitement of the shepherd when he finds one lost sheep. In other words, when the shepherd does find a lost sheep, there's an amazing amount of joy and thrill that fills his heart because he found him. Backside of your sermon listening guide, let's read that first verse, Luke 15, verses 5 to 6a. "And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home." Listen, the shepherd is elated when he finds a lost sheep, someone that is drifted, someone in darkness, someone whose life is a mess. During the adult class on the scent lab that we did between the services, we were looking at scripture in which Jesus was sent to towns and villages, and there was a list of people he went to see: the paralyzed, the invalid, the people who were sick of all kinds of diseases. These were people whose lives were a mess, just like ours. And he wants to find people. And when he does, he gets excited. His heart is filled with joy as he puts the sheep on his shoulders and takes them home to safety in the pen, which is the family of God. There's a verse in your notes, Hebrews 12, 15, a simple verse. It says this: "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." If you want a life purpose, if you're wondering why you were born, your skills and ability, if you're here today and say, "Wow, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do," let me tell you, here's an anchor point to your life and mine. It's this: see to it that nobody in your family, in your neighborhood, in your town misses the grace of God. Why? Because Jesus died for people to become a part of his family. And the writer here says, hey, be on mission that nobody misses it. Got a few quotes. Here's the first one. Something by Rick Warren. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came to do three things. He came to have my past forgiven. That's an amazing thing when you can get your past under the blood of Christ and say, okay, I messed up, but I'm trusting in his forgiveness for it. That's an amazing thing. And then it says, you get a purpose for living. A purpose to live. He'll put it in your heart. And lastly, a home in heaven when this life is over. You talk about a message. The church has the best message on the planet that we can share with people. It deals with their past. It deals with their future. It gives them power in the present, and it makes all the difference going forward. Here's an acronym of the word grace. Let's read it together. God's riches at Christ's expense. Understand that grace is available to you today. As a matter of fact, the shepherd laid down his life for it, and he wants to pour it out without condemnation. He wants us to get in a place within ourselves where we feel like we've dealt with our past, where we anchor to him in our faith for the present, and we put our trust in his promises for the future. That's what grace will do for any of us. And the shepherd, Jesus, joyfully puts the sheep on his shoulders when he goes home. Next Sunday is Easter, and it's a big day. Many people are open to invitations. I'll have Jonica put a slide up. And, you know, just a simple invitation. There's some cards on the table, and actually I'll have B stand at the door and maybe give you one on the way out. But it just says two services next week. Invite somebody out. You know why? It could make the difference in their life going forward. It's called grace. They may not understand it. They may have rejected it some time ago. Who knows? But you never know when the person's ripe, and that grace can enter their life to give them a better life. Now, on May 22nd, we're going to do Invite Your One, and that's what Bill and Tammy were talking about. Two services. After the first service, we're going to serve brunch. People get to eat. After the second service, you get lunch. So if you do both, you're going to be filled up, all right? There's cards on the table, but everybody's challenged to get their one. So Tammy and Bill, they're on it. And once you get your one, there's a little round circle, little piece of cardstock out there on the table. Put your name on it and say, I've got my one, and put it on the board. So I'll have Jonica put that one up. Here's the invitation, okay? You can take some of those and give them to people. And then here's the one that you fill in and put your name on the board. All right, just put, hi, my name is Larry, and I've got my one. I've got my one. The mayor said he would come. I'm going to go after other people. I hope you do too. And so we're going to build momentum over the next few weeks. But here's the deal. You are extending an invitation to someone whose life may be hurting or is a mess, or they need help. And you know what? The value of one is immense, because Jesus said he's willing to leave the 90 and 9 to get one. And that one was even us at one time. And then once you fill that out, you can put it on the board. It's there in the foyer. And you take a stick pin and put your name on it. And we're going to just continue to fill the board. May 22nd, be in prayer for that date. Okay. Number one, there's a longing of the shepherd to find the lost sheep. Number two, there's excitement in the shepherd's heart when he finds one. I mean, he gets excited about it. And number three is this, the generosity of the shepherd to invite others to join in the celebration of finding one lost sheep. Read with me verse 6b in your notes. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I want us to understand what's going on here. When he finds a lost sheep, he informs, calls his friends and neighbors together. And you know what happens? It becomes a community party. It's called the church. And we as a church need to get excited when people come to faith and we celebrate in that experience of their life. Read with me 15:7 in your notes. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. If you're here this morning and you have faith in Christ, and it happened maybe years ago, let me tell you what happened. There was celebrating in heaven. I mean, maybe it was a week ago, maybe it's 2 weeks. Whenever a person crosses the line of faith, they trust Jesus for heaven, for the forgiveness of sins. There's a party, a rejoicing that goes on in heaven. And it happened the day or the moment where you received Christ into your life. It was just a celebration. And Jesus is teaching here, he lives with an abundance mentality. You know what that means? When somebody comes to faith in a church family, it's a time of celebration as a whole. I want us as a church in 2022 to become better at, to become sharp, to become focused, to be intentional in what it means to share our faith, to invite others in. We're going to deal with that during the adult class, during the Sunday mornings, and we're just going to become better at it. We're going to share our faith and learn how to do it. You know why? Because when someone crosses that line of faith, Jesus, the great shepherd, is excited. He's joyful. Not only that, the angels in heaven rejoice with us. As I mentioned earlier during the Scent Lab this morning, we were talking about how Jesus was sent into people's lives, among the people, and they were a mess. I mean, their lives were a mess. And that's where he goes, which means people will come to church and their life will be a mess. I want us to understand as a church family, when new people begin to come in, it will feel a bit uncomfortable, but that's okay. You got to deal with that because we want to welcome people whose lives are a mess. You know why? After all, ours are too. Or it was a worse mess years back. And so we have to have a mindset in which the people who come through the door say, wow, how did he or she get here? And it's all about people coming in. You know why? The shepherd's going after them. And we're a part of it. And he wants us as a church family to receive people whose lives have been a mess and love them into health and love them to a new level. And it takes a commitment on behalf of the individuals and church as a whole to say, you know what? We're going to make ourselves a loving body. We're not going to judge. We're just going to accept and receive. We'll be careful, we'll be cautious, but we want to love people so that we then, as a collective community, can embrace people who receive grace perhaps for the first time, and then all of a sudden, their life is on a journey of discipleship. It'll take them a while to mature, but they need a family to come around them. Here's a couple of quotes. We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, informed for a family, and none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. Do you realize we are wired to be in a family? Now, some people here today have amazing biological families. You have a mother, a father who love the Lord. You grew up, you may have had years with them. You may have had great grandparents. Can I tell you, you're just blessed. There's others of us that kind of had a fractured family. Somebody died early, or our mom or dad wasn't what we wanted them to be. And there's a degree of brokenness, and we're a part of a family. But wow, when you think about the church family, everybody's invited to be a part of that. We are formed for that. We are wired for it. God wants us to be a sense of community to each other. After the service, just love people. Just take some time to talk with somebody you didn't come to church with, and go up and love them. Just encourage them. You know why? You never know how your word, of spoken word, will be the word that person there has been waiting for. You don't know what's going on in people's lives. I don't know everything. And so, hey, just love people. And when new people begin to come through the door, we have to embrace them with a sense of love and acceptance, because that's what they're looking for. Here's another quote. Christian community is the place where we keep the flame of hope alive among us and take it seriously so that it can grow and become stronger in us. I want to focus on one thought. The community is where you keep the flame of hope alive. We need to have a flame of hope in our church so that the Walton community and the communities around us, and when people come in, they sense the hope. That's what we're designed for and made for. And the teaching in point number 3 is the shepherd invites us, each you and me, to be a part of this big picture family, to celebrate somebody coming to faith through grace. You know why? It helps them deal with their past, gives them hope for the future, heaven, and it gives power in the present. There's no greater message that we could ever share with somebody. So 3 things. There's a longing of the shepherd to go leave the 99 and to go after the one. Number 2, there's excitement in the shepherd's heart when he finds one. I mean, this is what life is about, helping people find grace. And number 3, we learn that the shepherd is generous to invite others in. It's called the family of God. And Jesus wants to expand his family. In that verse that we read earlier, one of the saddest things is when it says, but you were not willing, or look, your house is left to you desolate. Listen, everybody here knows people that have a desolate life. They may not understand it yet, but we're on mission to help them find grace to put their life back together. Concluding thoughts. Read with me the verse in your notes, and I'll have Jonica put it on the screen as well. Let's read it together. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Here's what it's saying. Everybody that's not here this morning, everybody that's here, our hearts were made to find rest, but they are restless until they figure out grace in Christ and how to rest in him. Everybody. That's how God designed us. He's made us for himself. Here's a quote as we kind of wrap up this morning. If only we could see the value of one soul like God does. I want you to absorb that statement. How do you view people, one soul, the value of them? Some people have great jobs. Others are looking for a job. Some are in prison. Some people are homeless. Some people have a lot. Some have very little. The question is, how do you and I view people, the one person? And so here's what we're going to do. I've got 5 slides as I wrap up the message I want to show you. And I want you to evaluate how you view that person and their worth, okay? And we'll talk about it when we're done. Here's the first one. Here's the question. Which one has more value to Christ? You know what the answer is? They're all equal. They're all equal. We have to get past ourselves and say, wow, this person has done well with life. This one's homeless, and this one's in jail or prison. But there's value in each one of them. And the way God looks at one soul is that every person has value. Our mission individually and as a church is that we will see people the way he sees them, and we will become good at sharing a grace message that gives them hope to have forgiveness of their past, hope for their future, called heaven, and power in the present. Let me tell you, that's what the world is looking for. That's what Walton people are looking for. So we as a church are on mission 2022 to go and make disciples, because Jesus says there's value in every person regardless of their lot in life. Let's pray. I want you to take just a few moments and let God's Spirit speak to your heart about how you view people. And maybe it's an adjustment on the inside. Say, Lord, help me to see people differently this week. Just take a few moments of silence. What's most important in this moment is to make sure that we are a grace-filled person. And for those listening online and those here, I'm going to lead us in a simple prayer in which you just allow Jesus into your life, or you recommit yourself to him and let him gather you to himself. So let me just pray this prayer. You can pray it silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for me, and that you want to gather me unto yourself. I confess I've tried to do life my way. Forgive me of all my sins. By faith, I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again, and he lives forevermore. Right now, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. I ask him to be my Savior. I ask him to be my Lord from this moment forward. In your name I pray.